Hey, everybody. Is America going back to God? Sort of, but a very good news story that we cover. And then Alina Haba joins the program. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with America's most important organization, Turning Point USA, at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. As always, you can become a member. It's members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. We are back in the chair today, live from beautiful Gainesville, Florida. I am just steps away from the University of Florida. I would say go Gators, but I don't believe it. So best of luck, Gators, I should say. Not that we got anything to worry about. Haven't been good in about 20 years. Be more fair. It's like 15 years. There's lots to cover today. Thank you, Andrew, for filling in yesterday. We have an exciting news day to go through. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to go talk to college kids for about 2 or 3 hours, and the clips are going to go very, very viral. There's the story that we covered last week, and we had Riley Gaines at Freedom Night in America on Tuesday evening, that many of you know, where President Donald Trump signed the executive order forbidding men from playing in women's sports. Of course, the governor of Maine then got in a little bit of a debate with President Trump at the governor's dinner and the governor's luncheon, I should say, saying, oh, we'll see you in court. We're going to fight you in the court to make sure that men can participate in female sports. Now, that is a 90-10 issue, and you must wonder, how is it that people get to the conclusion that men can give birth, that men and women are basically the same, that men should be able to compete in female sports? And it's very simple. If people do not believe in God, they will believe in anything. And man will do whatever is right in his own eyes. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, as the scriptures say. If you do not believe in a transcendent being, an almighty God, divine providence, eternal power, well, then you're going to have to fill that void with something. And that void is postmodernist secular humanism. Over the last couple years, we have talked about how leftist ideology tries to fill an existential void. And here on screen, you see President Donald Trump jousting with the governor of Maine. And it's directly tied together. Because if you go look at the 10 least religious states in the country, all but one are deep blue states. The least religious state in the country is Vermont. Second is Maine. She's representing her people. Third is New Hampshire. Fourth is Massachusetts. Let me stop. That means that the four of the least religious states in the country are all where the country was founded by Christian pastors. Covenantals, Covenanters, Presbyterians, Episcopalians. 4 out of 10 of the least religious are all in that Northeast quadrant. It's amazing. Number 5, Washington. Number 6, Oregon. Number 7, Alaska, so that is the outlier. Number 8, Hawaii. 9, Rhode Island. 10, Colorado. All of them. Vermont, 2 Democrat senators. Maine, 2 Democrat senators. New Hampshire, 2 Democrat senators. Massachusetts, 2 Democrat senators. Washington, Oregon. Alaska is the outlier, but you got Murkowski, who's her own thing. Hawaii, Rhode Island, and Colorado. The 10 most religious states in the country: Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Louisiana, Arkansas, South Carolina, West Virginia, Georgia, Oklahoma, and North Carolina. If you take a step back, you realize that the craziest ideas, the ones that are an affront to the natural law, an affront to our senses, come from the most secular states. There has been a belief over the last couple of years that America is becoming less churched and it is inevitable and there is nothing we can do about it. One of the most promising pieces of news to tie all of this together is a Pew Research study the New York Times covered yesterday that shows that America has actually leveled off and is becoming slightly more religious. Pew Research has completed a very large survey of American religious beliefs, and the results are fascinating. It's one nation under God. Americans have stopped leaving Christianity, and the country is overwhelmingly spiritual, a new report has found. This is the best news that I can share post-Donald Trump's election in November. This is a leading indicator that is deeper than just politics. It's about meaning and purpose. This is about stopping the spiritual bleeding that we have been living through. America used to be overwhelming, almost unanimously Christian. Even as recently as 1990, more than 90% of Americans identified as Christian, but it's been in decline for a long time. From 2007 to the early 2020s, the share of Americans calling themselves Christian fell from 78% to just 60%, a drop of more than 1% a year. Well, the decline has stopped, and it may have even gone into reverse. The share of Americans who are Christian has stabilized at about 63%. The share of Americans who say they pray daily has consistently been between 44 and 46% since 2021. In the new RLS, 44% say they pray at least once a day. Similarly, since 2020, the percentage of U.S. adults who say they attend religious service monthly has hovered in the low 30s. This is bad news for the Marxists. This chart right there, let me show you. Since 2007, America's becoming more secular, more secular, more secular. We are more religious, according to this survey by the Pew Research Center, than we were after 2020. We have reversed the course. We flatlined. Now, we are not seeing yet the revival spike that we need, but the American body politic, the American people are searching for something. They are living through Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. They are looking for that. They're looking for a purpose for being. They're looking to the heavens. They want to go back to their roots. And that chart right there is so fascinating. I have to continue. And by the way, those of you listening on podcasting, we're going to put this on charliekirk.com. Essentially, it shows that America tried a steep downturn post-2020 to become more secular, and that has now been reversed. I think that's a perfect picture of our politics as well. We looked over the abyss, and we saw them transing our kids, and we saw white people being blamed for their existence, and we saw our kids being medically kidnapped. We looked over the abyss, and we saw DEI and CRT. We saw an open border. We saw suicide widespread and alcohol addiction and drug addiction. And we said, we don't want that. We're going back to our roots and we are finding our way back home. Yesterday, and it's fitting because it ties all of this together, at President Trump's first cabinet meeting, what is the first thing he did? The first thing that President Trump did was ask the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, a great man who's also been a guest on this program, to lead the room in prayer. What you are seeing is a battle of those that believe that there is a God and people that believe that they are God. What you saw at the cabinet meeting was President Donald Trump, who gets called as being egotistical and narcissistic, and he's the center of the universe, saying, no, actually, there is a God, and we are not him. In fact, he says, let's have Scott lead us in grace. And the whole room, with the cameras rolling, and hundreds of millions of people worldwide watching, took a moment to humble themselves before Almighty God. Consistent with the national trend. And we are seeing that distinction of good versus evil. We are bringing God back into our government. And as we are seeing the battle between those that want to say that men can play in female sports and those that want to say they want to be able to chemically castrate their kids, they believe that because they do not believe in a higher purpose and they do not believe in a higher power. And if we are serious about saving our country, it is the spiritual battle that is fundamental first and foremost. Being a nation under God makes sure we are not a nation under tyrannical government. The Marxists have always said they want to eliminate three things: the family, people's connection to faith or God, and private property. President Donald Trump is restoring all three. Those three things are the bedrock. They are a foundation of a civil and free society. You cannot have a free society without those three things. I would add free speech as a fourth. If pain is affecting your life, make 2025 the year of feeling good again. The year of moving better, sleeping better, feeling more alive, and do it with Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. It doesn't just mask pain temporarily, helps reduce or even eliminate it. Over a million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel the difference it can make in your life. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day, and just takes a phone call. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That is 1-800-4-RELIEF. Remember, every day you feel better is a day you live better. So wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, make 2025 the year of feeling good again. Try Relief Factor right now. That is 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-4-RELIEF. This is profound. This is President Trump's first cabinet meeting, his first gathering of his team. And let me just say, what an all-star cabinet that he has assembled. You look at this cabinet, you say, huh, America is back. And it's not just the headline gatherers. It's not just the Hegseths. It's not just the Bessents. It's not just the Marco Rubios, who's doing amazing, by the way. It's not just those. It's the ones that get less attention but deserve attention. Secretary of Transportation Duffy. You got Doug Burgum running all the energy stuff. He's doing a great job there. You got Pam Bondi at DOJ. You, of course, got Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy. Looking at that room was a manifestation, was a physical embodiment of the political transformation that we helped make possible last November and that we are continuing every single day. We had MAHA. We had stopped the wars. We had no more lawfare. What you saw in that room, can we get a picture of the cabinet room, was every campaign political slogan around a table. Because it wasn't just slogans, that is slogans into practice. Let me show you right there. That's Marco Rubio, Peace Through Strength. That is Pete Hegseth right there, which is no more stupid wars and get woke out of our military. That is Steve Witkoff right there behind him, which is we stand with Israel. I could point to every single person in that room, and that is a promises made, promises kept moment. Every single person in that room. Bobby Kennedy, make America healthy again. Howard Lutnick, we're going to do tariffs on our adversaries. Kristi Noem, massive deportation force. Every single person is there to fulfill a promise that President Trump made on the campaign trail. Every single person. Russ Vogt, we're going to stop the regulatory agency. Linda McMahon, we're going to abolish the Department of Education. You got Elon Musk hovering above there, which is we're going to do Doge. We're going to cut the waste. We're going to go after the fourth branch of government. You got J.D. Vance there, new generation of leadership, who's been doing an amazing rock star job. And it would have been really easy if the first thing to do is talk about how great of a job everyone is doing. I want you to understand the humility here, the spiritual humility, that we must submit and repent to an almighty God. Understand, it would have been very easy to say, hey, aren't we doing the greatest job ever? But no, the first thing that Trump 2.0 wants to do, the first thing, is to humble themselves before our Creator. You think Joe Biden would ever do this? You think the first thing that Joe Biden would do is say that we are going to acknowledge the Almighty? Maybe he did at his first cabinet meeting, and I missed it. I want you to listen carefully. This is Housing and Urban Development Secretary Scott Turner, leading the nation in prayer, the world in prayer. Because as America puts God first, the world will put God first. And we have culled and stabilized the descent into secularism. And we need to go back into believing that there is a God and we are not him. And this is a powerful, powerful moment. Watch the world's most powerful room. This is the world's most powerful room. Submit before their creator. Play cut 228.
Say grace, and they will have our meeting, right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege, Father, to be in your presence. God, thank you that you've allowed us to see this day. The Bible says that your mercies are new every morning. And Father God, we give you the glory and the honor. Father God, that as we serve the people of this country in every prospective agency, every job that we have, Father, we would humble ourselves before you. And we would lead in the manner that you've called us to lead and to serve. Father, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, Father, we today honor you. And Lord God, today in our meeting, we pray that you will be glorified in our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
While the left bends a knee before race hate and trans delusion, Trump and his team are kneeling before the creator of the universe. The framers would be so proud to see this. The framers of this country, Hamilton, Madison, Jay, Washington, they would see that in the year of 2025, we are opening a cabinet meeting, still submitting to God's grace. We don't kneel over pride flags, but we will submit to God. We will point the nation back to spiritual purposes. Rome recovered from a near collapse after a spiritual revival. Britain became a global superpower after a spiritual revival. The American Revolution was led by a revival, by Jonathan Edwards, by George Whitefield, by Jonathan Mayhew. It was the first great reformation. And I just love seeing this. That our leaders that are in control of the nuclear arsenal that could invade a nation whenever they want, the first thing they do is to center themselves and orient themselves. And let that be a lesson to all of us, is to start all important things in prayer. First in prayer, as it says in the scriptures, to bring it before the Lord. And you could imagine the secular, nasty, gremlin-filled media. Oh, they're praying. Yeah, we are praying, actually. Unapologetically. Because we all know that Donald Trump is only breathing and is only able to be at that stage, at that cabinet meeting, because a miracle happened on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. Ever see your dog slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and you'll see changes that will amaze you, guaranteed. Invented by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Rough Greens wants to invite you and give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, and improved joint function, all due to live nutrients you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you might even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your dog today. Go to RUFFGreens.com. Just use promo code Charlie. That is RUFFGreens.com, promo code Charlie, and just cover shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food. To improve your dog's health, just add a scoop of Rough Greens. That is RUFFGreens.com. Joining us now is Alina Habba, great friend and counselor to the president and rock star patriot. Alina, great to see you. Thank you for taking the time. Lots I want to discuss with you. The first of which is, what can we expect with the Epstein documents coming out? It seems to be momentarily.
Yes, I'm really excited because I think this is one of those transparency issues that the American people have been dying to see, and deservingly so. You can't have, you know, pedophiles running amok and people protecting them. We can't do that. So we're going to be showing some details. I'll let them do that. And I don't want to ruin the break, but Cash and Pam Bondi will be there, and they'll be giving everybody what they've been waiting for.
We are excited for that. And I guess we might see flight logs and some names, and that's going to break the internet. And we are looking forward to that. And it is a government that is committed to transparency, a government towards the talk about that, Alina, please.
I think that everything that we've done, and I'm really proud of the administration, because we didn't say one thing on the campaign, Charlie, and then come in and do something different. We saw the frustration in the American people. We were the American people that were frustrated because we didn't have a president who would answer questions, who would speak to the press, who would speak to the American people. Instead, we felt like the head of, and it really, frankly, was this way, the head of the executive branch, the former president, was engaging in cover-ups and was continuously hiding from Americans what their taxpayer dollars were doing, protecting people that perhaps had interest with what they were doing every day, or lining pockets. And the beauty with President Trump is he doesn't need his pocket lined. He's America first, always, and he's all about transparency. You saw it yesterday, Charlie, at the cabinet meeting. If people want to ask Elon questions, if people want to slam Elon, he'll bring him into the cabinet. He'll have him sit there and he'll tell him he needs to address the questions from the press. And he did that. And he also made it clear that the president is the one directing these initiatives. And The American people, if you look at his approval ratings, they love it. Transparency is what we always do. I've been instructed by the president to answer as many questions as possible, do as many shows, come on, talk to you, get as much reach to Americans so that they can ask us from the White House what is going on, and I'll answer those questions.
I love that. I want to play a piece of tape here. It's play cut 220, where you are talking about the 5 points from DOGE. Let's go to 220.
Can you clarify for federal workers who might be confused who to listen to, since Elon Musk's post is different from what OPM sent out?
I don't think it's, look, here's the reality of the situation. There's one person we're supposed to be listening to, that's President Trump, and what the American people mandated, which is what we're doing. People need to be accountable. You need to be able to answer the question. If you couldn't answer it yesterday, you have till today. But the reality is accountability is real. I can't not show up to work every day. I have to answer to the president. And by answering to the president, I answer to the American people. It's very simple. Would you want to pay somebody to do a job and they don't show up to work? I don't think so. I could name five things, five bullets, in about 5 minutes of me coming into the office every day. If you struggle to do that for a week, I have there's no excuse for that. Now, you can have an extra day to answer it, but you better be able to answer it.
Elena, elaborate, please.
Oh, I'm a savage sometimes. look, I am so frustrated with why this is outrageous, why this is such a crazy thing, Charlie. I mean, imagine, you and I work hard, right? We go to work. You don't even have to answer to anybody, and you work hard because you're dedicated, because you have ethics, because you have work ethics, something that is lacking, unfortunately. But imagine then taking taxpayer dollars, your money, my money, American dollars, giving it to the government, saying, hire who you need to run our country and make sure we are better, make sure we are safe. And then they don't show up to work. And then in some instances, they don't go take another job and double dip. Imagine a world where we just allow that. Anybody that knows President Trump or can see President Trump would not be surprised by this mandate. You got to show up to work. You got to work hard for the American people. And there is no better leader and example than that than President Trump. So I think I was in that moment just shocked by the stupidity of the questions that I was being asked. You know, how about are they going to get fired? Well, isn't that basic knowledge? If you don't do your job, if you aren't answering emails, and if you can't articulate what it is that you do, why should American people pay you?
It is simple to us, but the federal government seems to exist amongst different rules. Three activist judges put a national injunction on foreign aid, federal grants, and limiting refugees. And late last night, SCOTUS blocked a federal judge from forcing $2 billion in foreign aid payments. Walk our audience through the status of the courts trying to intervene and micromanage this administration.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. I think our last count was 65 lawsuits of people coming after initiatives by this administration. This is the old tale of the Democrat Party. Unfortunately, they didn't get the memo that this doesn't work. American people get frustrated. And if you look at the polling numbers, they literally say that the American people like what we're doing. They like DOGE. They like the cuts. They like the transparency. So these judges, you know, initially what they do is they try and get a temporary restraining order, it's called, to stop whatever actions the president has dictated need to happen, executive orders and such. And eventually we have seen time and time again since we've been here that we win. We get it up to another level, it gets reversed, they appeal. And now in this instance, the Supreme Court, which says a lot because the Supreme Court takes cases infrequently. They take the cases that they feel are very important and they're busy and they're deciding major constitutional issues, major American issues that will always affect our country. Those are historic decisions. And last night, very late in the wee hours, they said, nope, sorry, you cannot say that they cannot do it. And I think this is going to be the first of many. We know birthright citizenship is another issue that'll probably end up with SCOTUS. And that's what we have ethical judges for. Now, that doesn't mean they all are. That doesn't mean they aren't politically motivated on the lower levels. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I know what they do. These AGs and DAs, I've seen it firsthand for years, as you know. They pick judges, they select venues, they forum shop, They file things so that they can go and attack Trump. And it's frankly not working.
So, yeah, I want to reiterate this, though. The current left's plan is to overwhelm the Supreme Court workload, issue 500 injunctions, and SCOTUS can't quickly undo all of them. This is a theme that we've seen, though, of this out-of-control judiciary in Brazil, Romania, Israel. And so is the plan to escalate all of this to the Supreme Court? You are a lawyer. Walk me through it, please.
Absolutely. We will take it as far as we need to go. And it's unfortunately, the reality is that they're making us waste American taxpayer resources on this. But we will take it, Charlie, as far as we need to go. If that means SCOTUS, that means SCOTUS. We are not going to quit and we are not going to stop fighting. What we are doing is absolutely in the president's domain, in his job description. He is running the country and he is doing so amazingly. And we have to continue to fight any roadblock that they put in front of us, and we will, and we are committed to it. I sit right next to White House counsel's office. I speak with DOJ daily. You know, we are literally going to continue to attack every single thing that they do. And Pam is the best person to lead that charge.
So, Alina, the rapid pace is making people have a little bit of whiplash. Democrats can't even remember all the things they're supposed to be mad about because Trump and the team is moving so quickly. Finally, the team was assembled. Can you tell us any other takeaways from the cabinet meeting yesterday, this historic assembly of fighters and patriots in President Trump's first cabinet meeting?
Yeah, let me tell you something that I haven't shared, which is when the cameras left the room. When the cameras left the room, the cabinet sat and all discussed what items they have been doing, briefed the president as a cabinet does, and the president was engaged. He was asking questions. He asked for action. He asked for swift action. But there was not one thing that was not turned. There was not one thing that he forgot. There was not one question he didn't ask from a cabinet member that he needed to know so that he could make sure we were on pace to do things the way he wants to do it, but more importantly, to get the American people results. And more importantly, Charlie, this is what I love about this administration. There was support. If one cabinet member said they were working on something, another said, oh, I think I can help because I know about this. And there was coordination and everybody was giving their thoughts and being respectful and supportive. There was no knifing. There was no sleepy Joe. It was truly the way our republic is supposed to work.
Alina, thank you so much for your great work. I hope to see you on White House grounds soon. We have your back 100%. Any final thoughts for our audience? 30 seconds.
I just think that you should be so proud and know that whatever you see in the news is just a minuscule amount of what we're doing. We are really fighting hard for you, and we are going to continue to do so. There's not a day we won't.
Thank you, Alina. Talk to you soon. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. God bless.
Maybe you are one of the borrowers in America that has a private distressed student loan. If so, listen carefully. Did you know that private student loan debt in America totals about $300 billion? About $45 billion is labeled as distressed. YRefi does not care what your credit score is. When the payment on your distressed or defaulted private student loan is so big that you can't ever get ahead in your finances, YRefi is surely your best option. YRefi can save you thousands of dollars by refinancing and even lower your total cost. YRefi refinances distressed and defaulted private student loans, which are different from federal loans. Because of private student loan debt, so many Americans feel stuck and helpless. They've even lost hope. YRefi gives you a light at the end of the tunnel. Let's face it, if you have distressed or defaulted private student loans, nobody is coming to bail you out, and bankruptcy is not an option, but you could take charge of your situation by contacting YRefi. So go to YRefi.com. That is YREFY.com. They've been great supporters and great partners. That is YREFY.com. YREFY.com. So check it out right now. YREFY.com. So Jake Tapper, who of course was largely responsible for all of the Russiagate stuff, is out with a new book. I don't want to even plug his new book, so instead I'm going to mock it. The book is called Original Sin: President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. Now, some ways I'm actually pleased this is the direction that Democrats are going. It's not totally incorrect, it's just incomplete. Of course, Joe Biden, being a failed, dementia-ridden, senile individual who was president and was going to run and then had Kamala run, that played a role. But it's so much deeper than that, and at its core, elections are about values. Elections are about worldview. And the Democrats are going to go all in saying, oh, we lost just because of Biden. because he had bad mental decline. However, do you remember when you were not even allowed to mention that Joe Biden had senility or mental decline? That Joe Biden was losing it? The same people who helped cover up Joe Biden's senility are now writing books about their own misconduct because there is money to be made. It's so perfect that Jake Tapper is writing this. He is such a fraud. This is Jake Tapper, who, by the way, Jake Tapper played into all of this, like, oh, Charlie Kirk's an anti-Semite thing over the summer at the RNC. They were so close to crossing a line where I could sue them. So close. You had all these blowhards, and they never apologized. I'll never forget that. I was honored thanks to President Trump and Susie Wiles and the whole team. They gave me a primetime address at the RNC. And I had I was super honored. It was amazing. One of the great moments of my life. CNN didn't cover the speech. That's fine. I don't expect them to cover it. But instead, while I was speaking, they went on a 10-minute diatribe calling me an anti-Semite. Now, there are a lot of things that you can call Charlie Kirk. But calling me an anti-Semite, that's really rich. Blake laughs. I said, of all the different things that you could accuse Charlie Kirk of, saying that I'm anti-Semitic, I'm a phileo-Semite. I love Jews and Judaism and Israel. It's really something coming from Jake Tapper. This is the same guy who dated Monica Lewinsky. Not a great decision maker. Play cut 226.
I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
You are so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
Well, you're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was
I think that you were mocking his stutter. Yeah, I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline.
Cognitive decline. And now he has an entire book dedicated to this exact topic. This book will all be spin. It's going to be total BS, obviously. Original sin. I will say, though, I will do this. Jake Tapper, if you want to sell books, you should come on the Charlie Kirk Show. You get a lot of clicks. If you really want attention and you really want to move books, don't just do The View and all that. You were part of the cover-up. You were the ones that covered up the crime scene and said that we were disinformation artists. People lost access to their social media for saying that Joe Biden had mental decline. And now it's, oh, Joe Biden obviously has mental decline. Here's an entire book on it. It's outrageous. These people have no shame whatsoever. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.